various things in life a delight. Each of us has our own choice or selection of things that we find delightful. You know, I find delight in watching snowflakes falling down on a calm day or even in a windy day, swirling around or drifting down slowly, and waking up in a crisp, you know, winter morning, seeing the muddy soil and all that and the dead trees all covered in this beautiful white snow or even, you know, a frost. And it reflects the sunlight as it slowly comes out. And I think about all these snowflakes, how, you know, there's an infinite variety of them and the way God created them. I wonder, you know, why did he create them that way? Why are they all they could have just been all the same, right? But, you know, maybe it's something he wants to give us to be in wonder of that points to our wonder in him. You know, the modern definition of delight, the noun is, and there's some synonyms here, is Merriam-Webster's.com, but a high degree of gratification or pleasure or joy, like children squealing in delight, or extreme satisfaction, or something that gives pleasure, like her performance was a delight. Or the archaic saying is the power of affording pleasure of more delight than hawks or horses be, Shakespeare. I would take delight in seeing a hawk soaring and how magnificent and majestic they are, and eagles and things, and the power of a horse and how God put them together. Pretty amazing creatures. The verb of delighted, delighting, and delights, it's to take great pleasure, delight in playing the guitar, or perhaps playing the piano is your delight. To give keen enjoyment, like a book that gives you certain delight. Today's a good day to read a book that should give you some delight. I'd like you to turn to Isaiah 58 with me. And actually, I'd like you to turn there or go there on your phone. I cheated and I have it in my notes. So, verse 13, I'm not going to be talking about fasting today, I'm going to be talking about something else. Verse 13, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. Verse 14, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So wouldn't that be nice? Then we can delight ourselves in the Lord. So let's take a look at some of these phrases in these verses. In verse 13 says, turn your foot away from the Sabbath. I'll read an excerpt from the Forerunner Commentary. If anything becomes more important than God, idolatry is committed, right? You can make a person more important than God. You can make a thing more important. Or a segment of time more important than spending time with God. I threw that in there. That's not Forerunner. All right, back to the commentary. Thus, if in the weekly observance of the Sabbath we do anything that becomes more important to us than our relationship with God, we have broken the Sabbath and committed idolatry. It could be said that idolatry is the heart of all sin, as our willingness to esteem something higher than God and his way of life causes us to sin. So, let's take a closer look at verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words. So if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, what does that mean? You just turn your foot away and start walking away from it and not keep the Sabbath? No, that isn't what it means. Does it mean, you know, you do an about face? Of course not. So God blessed and sanctified the Sabbath. You know that in Genesis 2:3. You don't have to go there. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work, which God had created and made. So he made the Sabbath on the seventh day, which we know, and we're here. Because of that, we're commanded to assemble before God on the Sabbath day. And he blessed it. You know, the Hebrew word sanctified can also mean consecrated or ceremonially or morally clean. So we're told to turn our foot away from the Sabbath. So picture this. Let's say I've been wearing a pair of barn boots in the backyard, cleaning up after the dogs, spreading manure in the garden, spreading hay mulch and tromping about in dirt and mud on Friday. Maybe I've been wearing them Wednesday and Thursday too, have a nice accumulation of muck. So I'm tired from working up when I wake up late Sabbath and realize I barely have time to get to services, so I just throw on my muddy, dirty, stinky barn boots and walk into church for the Sabbath service. I got to tell you, I haven't seen that very often, so this is just an analogy. Bear with me. I would be treating God and his Sabbath day with disrespect, wouldn't I? Treating the Sabbath just like those weekdays when I was out working with my boots on. Do you remember the Ten Commandments with Carlton Heston playing Moses? Is there anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand, that has not seen that movie, The Ten Commandments, and even a lot more than just one time? You don't have to leave and walk out if you have it. It's not required to be a member of this church, but I think almost everybody has seen The Ten Commandments. Do you remember the scene where Moses sees the burning bush from afar, right? He goes, I got to go check this out. This is really weird. How is this possible? The bush isn't burned up. And then he hears, Moses. You know, it was kind of, I picture the voice anything like that. Okay, it can be a still, small voice, but who knows what the Lord sounded like when he spoke to Moses. Only Moses does. But what did he tell him? Exodus 3, verse 5. He said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet. For this place where you stand is holy ground. So that's something we need to think about when we come to church services. When we prepare for God's holy day. We don't require people to take off their shoes at the door when they attend church, do we? You know, I used to go to a restaurant with my parents. They called Mikasa's, I think. It was a Japanese restaurant in Pasadena, and they were at a subterranean level. You'd walk down the sidewalk, and there's a little sign that a restaurant was there, and you'd go down below, and they had an aviary, and the gals dressed up in Japanese garb, and they'd squat down and stir-fry your food right at the table. But you always had to take your shoes off right at the entrance and go in there, you know, with just your socks on. But you don't have to do that here. God just doesn't want us to stop on the Sabbath in our muck boots and treat it as a common thing to be tread underfoot. The Sabbaths of God are holy and not to be mistreated. The Sabbath is very special to him. Very special to him. And he made it for us. He wants us to treat the Sabbath with respect. The Believer's Bible Commentary says about Exodus 3:5, the Lord promised Moses that he would deliver his people from Egypt and bring them into a land of abundance, that is Canaan, inhabited by the six heathen nations listed in verse 8. The word holy occurs here for the first time in the Bible. By removing his sandals, Moses acknowledged that the place was holy. So we are in God's presence today, like Moses was in his presence then. Are we remembering where we are today and what it means to be on holy ground in front of God? So, what does it mean to keep ourselves from doing our own pleasure on God's holy day? Let me give you a real basic example, something that might help us understand what this means. And more will come to light as we advance through these two verses or continue going over them. I enjoy reading God's word. That's my pleasure. So, should I stop reading the Bible because that's my own pleasure? No, it's God's pleasure too. And his pleasure becomes our pleasure. I do stop reading my Louis L'Amour books, and as a personal choice. And I don't watch the news or read it on my phone except for, articles from the church or something that talk about current events and how it relates to the Bible. But I see plenty of the news all week long, and it looks pretty much the same on Sunday as it did on Friday. So I just avoid that, and it makes the Sabbath much more peaceful for me, keeping a Sabbath rest. And I don't read the comics. I learned how to read, reading the comics, before I went to elementary school, and Dad taught me, and I enjoy them. So I don't do that on the Sabbath. That's kind of my own pleasure. I was trying to say, can this be something holy to do on the Sabbath? It's okay. I'm not yelling at anybody if you read a comic on the Sabbath. It's my personal choices. Okay, it's a principle of ways to delight in the Sabbath, but where God also delights in what you're doing. So I believe I mentioned we're in God's presence today. And I try to make an effort to focus on God today more so than the rest of the week. We just need to ask ourselves, is God pleased with what I am doing on his sacred day, his Sabbath? And God gives us his Holy Spirit, right? We got that little voice in our heads or in our hearts. We know, I think, if what we're doing is acceptable to him on the Sabbath day. So, we put aside our own pleasures, which could even be work. You may have a job or a profession. You just really enjoy doing that. And you're grateful to God that he's blessed you with something that makes you happy and feel fulfilled and earns you a paycheck. But that's something you need to set aside on the Sabbath. That's something you do for yourself. We have our favorite hobbies, sports and recreational activities. That's doing your own pleasures if you do it on the Sabbath. Those are types of, as I said, of your own pleasures. Our attitude, it's the Sabbath isn't about a bunch of don'ts. And we can't do this and we can't do that. Oh, we have to keep the Sabbath, How about we get to spend the seventh-day Sabbath with God? He intended the Sabbath to be a joyful day, a delight. I remember when I was a little boy, back in the old days, I guess I'm old. I told my wife, you're getting old when you know you're getting old. But this fine gray-haired lady would provide babysitting for me when my parents went on a trip out of town. And on the Sabbath, Dad sometimes would be on assignment to go speak somewhere and decide to leave me home because he and Mom had some plans to do something else after the Sabbath and whatnot. So this gal just really believed, trying to do everything she could to obey the letter of the law. And the only way she would cook stuff on Sabbath morning was boiling water. My parents didn't believe that. They fixed some fine pancakes and beef bacon and stuff like that on the Sabbath. But that was her belief. And I'd tell her, no, my parents this and that. And said, all I'm going to do is boil water. Okay, I'll have oatmeal or cold cereal or whatever it is she prepared, So that was not fun. But my memory of delighting in the Sabbath with my parents was on Friday evening, Sabbath evening, Dad would start a fire. Yes, we were in Southern California. If it was lower than 70 degrees, Dad was happy because he'd stoke that wood fireplace. He loved to have that, and we'd play the stereo. He loved stringed orchestras, lots of violins and stuff, so he would play that kind of stuff. And not slamming any culture or bad words, but some Negro spirituals. He liked to play those sometimes. And it'd be Dad, Mom, and myself. It'd be family time. The rest of the time, Dad's working. He worked 7 days a week. He was, ended up being a minister and had a lot of duties at church and in the ministry. And so this was a rare time, that we had together. It was very special to me on the Sabbath. As I look back on it, when I was a kid, a little kid, I wasn't thinking so much about, I'm delighting on the Sabbath. I was just delighting in the time with family. So anyway, we all have our own choices to make in how we're going to call the Sabbath a delight. It's the principle of the matter. You know, I'm not going to give you a big checklist of, you know, thou shalt nots and how many steps you take and all that kind of stuff. I just want you to think about the principle. So moving on to not doing your own ways, but doing his ways. Not doing your own ways, but doing his ways. Interestingly enough, the Hebrew word for ways here comes from a root word meaning road or path. We need to switch gears for the Sabbath and get off the path we take all week long in our heads, and perhaps with our hearts, but our thoughts, our physical activity and that type of thing. You know, Strong's Hebrew and Greek Dictionary, which in the future I'll just refer to as Strong, says the Hebrew word can also mean a course of life or mode of action. So you're switching to a different course in life for a longer period of time on the Sabbath. And a mode of action, which is rest and keep it holy, you know. A little different action than hurry, 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 rush, rush, you know, through the week when you're working. You know, we're approaching the Passover, a time of extra focus on self-examination. We should be, you know, inquiring of ourselves every day and praying, you know, to God, you know, help me, oh God, you know, create in me a clean heart and help me to do what's right in your sight and that type of thing. But sometimes I think can be a bit mechanical in keeping the Sabbath, and it can turn into a routine if I'm not careful. I thought, well, maybe that happens with other folks. You know, we've been keeping, a lot of us, the Sabbath for decades. But we shouldn't let it become something mechanical. This scripture in Isaiah 58 struck me, and I asked myself, if I am doing what I need to do to call the Sabbath a delight. You know, generally everybody here got here by going on a road. You know, you drove, somebody else drove, you didn't walk here. Okay? This would work, I think, also if you walked. But this is a place where God has placed his name for us to meet and worship him. You know, we, the church ministry, prays and fasts about finding feast sites where God has placed his name, and many of us prayed and asked God, help us to find this place, you know, and he provided. We used to meet in a little tiny room, right? Remember the early start of COVID, and the landlord scrunched up the business suite to half its size and wanted to triple the rent, and God provided this wonderful place for us to meet. It's a place where God has placed his name. You know, many of us travel on a highway to Sabbath services. Perhaps in our thoughts on the Sabbath, we come to this mental fork in the road, right? You know, the old saying, somebody cuts us off, or somebody's tailgating us, or somebody passes us in a double yellow line on a blind hill or a curve. And you're like, get all carnal, you know. And you don't want to get in a bad mood on your way to church. You don't want to be in a bad mood when you start your drive to church. We'll touch on that later. So you get to this fork in the road, and one way takes us down the path of thinking about self-centered things instead of God-centered things. The other way of thinking about God-centered things will help us arrive at the beautiful destination of God's Sabbath. You know, where we're keeping the Sabbath with our minds and not just resting our bodies. Earlier I mentioned that the word ways can also mean road or path. You know, and the title of this point is not doing your own ways, but doing his ways. Perhaps when we are driving to church on the Sabbath, we can think about traveling a highway of holiness to meet with God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. Sure, other folks on the road, they aren't exactly driving on the highway of holiness. But we could be with our thoughts, right? There's a beautiful scripture in Isaiah 35, verses 7 and 8. Isaiah 35, 7 and 8. The parched ground shall become a pool. You know, metaphorically, I guess, you know, you could say we kind of live on parched ground these days. And pretty barren social landscape, barren of God, devoid of goodness. In the thirsty land, springs of water, in the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. You know, these scriptures give us hope in the future and something we can bring to mind each Sabbath and be refreshed. You can think of other scriptures while you're driving to church or interacting with brethren. So verse 8, a highway shall be there and a road. It shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. And I sure started out as a fool in the church, and too many times I go back to being that sometimes. But let's go to verse 9. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. You know, this weekly Sabbath rest, brethren, helps us to refresh ourselves, and it points to this prophecy and many, many others, where we'll find rest forever under the rule of Jesus Christ. You know, that fourth commandment is also known as what kind of a commandment? It's a test commandment. In Exodus 31:13. Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So this is an excerpt from the Beyond Today Bible commentary. I've referred to this commentary as the United Church of God Bible commentary, but at some point, which I didn't notice for a long time, it said Beyond Today Bible commentary. So it says, it is a sign that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So it is a sign that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Thus, it is a sign that regularly points us to the true God. Indeed, the weekly Sabbath memorializes creation, as stated in this passage. And creation points to the Creator, the true God. The Sabbath is a reminder that we do not worship gods of rocks and trees, sun, moon, or sky, or figments of human imagination, but the very Creator who made all of these things, including the humankind. And all of God's Sabbaths reveal his plan for the salvation of all mankind, a perpetual covenant distinct from the Sinai covenant. So keeping God's Sabbath, not doing our own ways and doing his ways, you know, we're paying attention. So we're showing God that we want to be his people and pay attention to this sign. Another thing we can do to avoid doing our own ways and focus on God's way in the Sabbath comes to mind. It's in Psalm 16, verses 8 and 11. In verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me, but not just on the Sabbath. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. In verse 11, you shall show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So, you know, maybe we get a little lost during the week, and we kind of veer off that path of righteousness, and even during the week we're doing our own ways. It's especially important on the Sabbath that we don't do that, because, I mean, by during the week, yeah, we got to do our own work, but we still have to keep God ever before us when we do things. But God shows us the path of life, and in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So we get refreshed today. We build our relationship with him. We draw closer to him. So this is on to point four, which is honor him, not speaking your own words. And a fair amount, of, by the way, of what I'm telling you today, some scriptures and points. I got some help from the Forerunner Commentary. It had an excellent section on the Sabbath, also from articles. I'll reference a little bit later here, of course, from the United Church of God. So this is honor him, not speaking your own words. Okay. He's talking about on the Sabbath. I've been guilty of this to some extent. You know, I don't think by talking about something planned after the Sabbath briefly is esteeming those plans more than the time with God on the Sabbath, but that shouldn't be our focus on the Sabbath. You know, some just set aside listening to God's inspired messages to pursue their own interests in word or just to do their own activities. You know, I unfortunately know of an instance where a church member, got up in the middle of services and walked outside of the hall to, you know, catch a football game on their phone. They just couldn't wait, you know, to find out what happened after the Sabbath. I think that kind of points to, you know, doing your own thing and, you know, probably having conversations with people about the football game, you know, afterwards and that type of thing. I just don't think, you know, in God's presence that something like that is something we ought to do. But everybody, you know, has to do what they think is right in God's eyes. Our focus doesn't need to be on when's the Sabbath over? When's it over? When's it over? We got to go do this. We're going to do that. We're going to have a blast. And you're thinking about that, you know, all during the sermon or when you're fellowshipping, or yes, you're going to have plans after Sabbath services, but and after sunset, but that really should that be our focus on the Sabbath day? I once heard a sermon by Ron Dart, and he asked this question. I believe I have this correct. Do you prepare your heart to hear the word of God on the Sabbath? You know, everybody has different speaking style. When speakers get up here, some are going to give you a bunch of scriptures, some just a few, and they can really elaborate and drill down detail and really help, you know, you understand things. But you know what? I'm pretty sure all of them give inspired scripture. And pretty sure most of them pray and ask for God's guidance to bring you a topic that he wants you to hear. So, you know, I think it's a good tip. Prepare your heart to hear the word of God on Sabbath. So it helps you think about his word. Take it in. We pray, you know, please inspire the speaker and help us to take in and learn from what you teach us, Father. That's a great prayer. But, you know, prepare in advance. There's preparation day, physical stuff that you can do to make the Sabbath more peaceful and more of a delight. But it's up here too. You can start preparing and in your heart, you know, before the Sabbath. Start winding down. It reminds me of a scripture. It's in Matthew 12:34. Excuse me. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, our words on the Sabbath come from what is in our heart. Perhaps we could prepare our hearts to speak what God would like to hear us say and share on his Sabbath. I'm not saying, you know, you should just sit there at the table and quote scripture to each other, and that's all you can say. Nothing else. I'm not saying that. It's not what God means. Do we stir one another up on the Sabbath, talking about miracles, God's promises, scriptures, or circumstances this past week when God's hand in your life was evident? You know, scriptures that, you know, you came to mind when something happened this last week. Do we enjoy some quiet time to meditate? Okay, I know folks have small children. It's hard to find quiet time to meditate. So it's nice to do if you're able to. It's nice to have that Sabbath rest and a little space to yourself. So these are just some ideas to give us a flavor of ways we can honor God when we talk with each other on the Sabbath and make the Sabbath a delight. So the Forerunner Commentary, one more quote from them. Instruction in the Bible as to how to keep the Sabbath is not given in specific detail, but in broad principles that cover a multitude of specifics. If we are being led by God's Spirit, we should be able to determine what is right. A great deal of what we say is just so much vanity, but a lot of good lies in the experience we have had, the lessons that we can pass on, the encouragement that we can share. There are multitudes of experiences and subjects that fit within positive purposes for which the Sabbath was created. I really like that. The Sabbath was created for positive purposes. One more thought before the next and last point. We've often heard the analogy of the church and Christ as a betrothed bride and groom. Paul is cautioning the Corinthians and all Christians to be spiritually chaste. That's in 2 Corinthians 11:2. If you want to jot it down, 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And then in Ephesians, again, Paul draws the analogy of husbands and wives being like Christ in the church. It's Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And then we read about the bride of Christ in Revelation 19, verses 6 through 8. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 8. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. So right now, the church, each one of us, is betrothed to Christ. You know, God has appointed this time for us to meet, this holy time on his Sabbath. He's getting to know us. That's what a betrothal period, an engagement period is about. You know, of course we get to know God all week, but the Sabbath is set apart as his special date for us, his gift to us. He made this day for us. And it's an appointed time that we get together with him and each other. We want to be making ourselves ready on his Sabbath. Now, this is a section under avoiding our own words, you know, just excluding God from our conversation, right? So just imagine if a fiance shows up for a date with her betrothed at a Michelin star restaurant, and they're sitting there. And, you know, the groom, say, has gone to all this effort to reserve a table at this really expensive restaurant. And she just gets out her smartphone and talks to her girlfriend on the smartphone all during the date they have together at the restaurant. Or the future groom whips out his smartphone. The bride-to-be is sitting there drumming the table with her fingers, and he's talking to his buddies about the latest sporting event. Oh, look at this big old bass this guy caught. You know, that kind of wrinkle, right? You're just kind of talking about everything but about the two of you. So I hope that helps. You know, today's a weekly opportunity to renew and build our relationship with God. And just be aware of your conversations. And we're here to try to encourage, uplift each other, and share with one another how God's worked in his life. You know, asking, oh, you know, I need help with this or that. I'm trying to understand. It's just, you know, most of the time I hear some great conversations. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. If anybody's at myself, you know, I really did think about, you know, God, I think, sometimes a Sabbath can be a little too mechanical and routine for me. And, you know, your list of dues. Okay, I need to do this, I need to do that. Where's my heart? Where's my heart on the Sabbath? So, things we can do to honor the Sabbath and call it a delight. You know? Things we can do to honor the Sabbath and call it a delight. When we do so, we delight ourselves in the Lord. What are some of the things we can do that will help us call the Sabbath a delight? Each of us can have very personal things that help us call the Sabbath a delight. Somebody else, not so much. They do something else. Preparing for the Sabbath in advance, though, I think helps everybody. And sometimes, you know, we call it the preparation day, and it's a big step toward resting on the Sabbath and keeping it holy. And you can even prepare for the Sabbath a little bit well ahead of the preparation day. You know your schedule, routine. For the most part, you know things that are coming up. There's always surprises. But preparing ahead of time for the Sabbath will really help it be something you can call a delight. One time I made the mistake of turning on a mystery movie. We had all the stuff done that we wanted to do to make the house neat and tidy, and we're ready for the Sabbath, you know, and the vacuuming and dishes and, you know, dinner's ready and all that. So, okay, look, you know, it's Sabbath's in 2 hours. The movie's like, you know, an hour and a half. But, you know, we hit the pause button, you do this and that. And that kind of thing is a mystery movie. And the person, oh, it's 15 minutes. How many more minutes left in the movie? Oh, no, 12, 13 minutes. So finally the movie finished. There's 2 minutes left to sunset. So are we thinking about the Sabbath at sunset? No, we were thinking about a mystery movie. We were rushing through and trying to beat the sunset, right? That was just wrong. I confess. So we don't turn mystery movies on at the end of Friday before sunset anymore. So I think I already mentioned I don't do comics and stuff in news on the Sabbath. My wife finds journaling her thoughts when she studies the Bible and, you know, listening to sermons. We both do. But she likes to wind down or let her mind put the skids on way before Sabbath because it helps her to relax and be inspired when the Sabbath comes. So she likes to slow things down and start thinking about the Sabbath in advance, which we've talked about a little bit. We both find a delight in listening to inspiring music, relaxing music on the Sabbath. She loves to take that time and delights in the Sabbath by writing cards to encourage people and checks in on brethren she hasn't called for a while. It helps the Sabbath to be a delight if the house is clean and, you know, the candles on Sabbath evening and our little gas fireplace lit and the music playing. Was kind of reminds me of what I did with my parents Sabbath evening. It's delightful for us. And we, you know, talk about some topics that please God, I think, or we try to. She likes to have a meal ready in the morning for breakfast and the Sabbath potluck, so she doesn't have to spend, you know, a lot of time on Sabbath preparing major meals. Get page 8 here. The new printer, not used to duplex pages. All right. We find it a delight to walk in a park and enjoy God's creation and wonder about his wonders. We like to study a topic, consider it, discuss it. We honor God on a Sabbath day when we do these things that help us call the Sabbath a delight. And it's just things I'm throwing out there. not trying to point at myself as being wonderful, just things that, you know, we'd like to do on God's Sabbath. But our delight in the Sabbath should not end right after services. So we need to enjoy our fellowship, which I talked about a little bit earlier, with each other during this once a week opportunity for many of us to meet face to face and rejoice together on God's feast day. Not go around long faces. It's a Sabbath. I can't do anything. You know, it's a wonderful day. I love going into church services and hearing, like I did today, the hum, the joy, the fellowshipping that was going before services even started. It's very delightful. So in conclusion, I'm going to read these two verses to you again, Isaiah 58:13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my Sabbath holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth, and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. There was an article here I'm going to throw in when I give a summary here on today's message from Mario Siegley titled, 10 Biblical Purposes for the Sabbath. 10 Biblical Purposes for the Sabbath, and this is just one, so I'm not going through all those. Remarking about these physical and spiritual blessings, the Bible Knowledge Commentary states, by putting God first and not seeking to do as he wished, a person would have joy, not only in spiritual salvation, right on the heights, but also in prosperity, to feast on the inheritance. All this was certain because the Lord has spoken. So we went over point one, to turn your foot away from the Sabbath, not to stomp on it in your muck boots. Remember where you are walking on God's Sabbath. You are walking in his presence on his holy day that he made just for you. Number two, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Focus your thoughts, words, and activities on what God finds pleasurable on his holy Sabbath, putting him first instead of yourself. Proverbs 21:2, just jot it down. You know it probably. It's said a few times in the Bible in various ways. Every way of a man's right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Remember I said, as Ron Dart said, prepare your heart to hear the word of God on a Sabbath. Point number three, not doing your own ways, but doing his ways. We need to put ourselves in the right frame of mind on the Sabbath and picture God's highway of holiness as the way, as the highway that we travel on his Sabbath. Avoid taking the wrong road on the Sabbath that leads us away from God's Sabbath. God says that he will show us the path of life, that in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Point four was honor him, not speaking your own words. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? What's in your heart on God's Sabbath? Praising God, loving him and one another, thanking God for his countless blessings, encouraging and comforting one another. Don't treat God rudely and have your own conversation that ignores his presence. Involve God on his holy Sabbath in your conversations and be inspired. Point five, things that we can do to honor the Sabbath and call it a delight. Call the Sabbath a delight by speaking, thinking, and doing things that delight God. He looks forward to his appointment with us, the special time he set aside for spending with his children for an entire day on the seventh day of the week, every month, every year, and eventually he hopes to spend eternity with us. In closing, I'm going to read Psalm 103, verses 8 through 14. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Some translations say love. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, So great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, I was told the Hebrew word for pities here means to cuddle or to fondle, you know, to love your child, comfort them, you know, when they're distressed. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. In verse 14, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. You know, God is not an ogre, brethren. He didn't design the Sabbath and make it for man to be some burden, right? We know God's commandments aren't burdensome. He loves his children, and the Sabbath are wonderful and precious gifts that he wants us to enjoy the way he intends. Call the Sabbath a delight, and we will delight in the Lord. Okay, I would like to make a request for next Sabbath. It's not a homework assignment, but if you'd like to give it a whirl, I think it will help you. Let's spend some time this week making a list of all the things that will help us call the Sabbath a delight. So I hope you find the rest of this Sabbath and future Sabbaths a delight, and you will delight in the Lord.